Gospel of Matthew tonight, chapter 1. Let's pray. Father, thank you for everybody here tonight. Thank you for the midweek meal Wednesday night. We can gather together as the body of Christ, as we've seen so much lately, especially on Sunday, that we can gather together, pray for one another, love one another, and encourage one another, edify one another. And Lord, we just commit this time to you tonight. Thank you for the worship. Thank you for the fellowship. And we thank for your precious word, which is truth tonight. And so we would pray that you would speak to us, give us wisdom, knowledge, and insight through your word. And may we become more and more conformed to the image of your Son. We love you and thank you for everybody here tonight. And we also thank you for those watching on YouTube tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, tonight, the Gospel of Matthew. Gospel, of course, means good news. And boy, isn't it wonderful to have some good news in the world in which we live. We can gather here tonight and look at the precious word, the good news, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1. Matthew's Gospel is a perfect bridge between the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's written by a Jew who actually worked for the IRS, so you tell me God isn't a God of grace. He was a tax collector. It was written by a Jew to the Jews about a Jew, the Jewish Messiah, Jesus Christ. His name, Matthew, means gift of the Lord. So if your name is Matthew, your name means gift of the Lord. His surname was Levi. And I always jokingly say his name was Levi because it was in his genes. Anyway, I know, pray for me. But the very first words of this beautiful gospel begin with the father of faith, Abraham, along with the first great king of Israel, King David, a man after God's own heart. David didn't give himself that name. God called David a man after my own heart. The Gospel of Matthew is filled with Old Testament quotations, and I love that. Everything that Matthew teaches, he backs up with the Holy Scriptures that are given by the inspiration of God, the Old Testament Scriptures. Matthew was a young man when Jesus called him. Jesus calls everyone. It just all depends on whether you are listening or not, whether you have ears to hear. Maybe God is calling you here tonight. I never know who's watching on YouTube, but never know who's watching. Never know who shows up to the service. But Jesus loves you. Jesus is calling you. As Jesus passed by the tax office, the IRS one day, there he saw Matthew sitting there. And all Jesus said were two words, follow me. Isn't that amazing? And guess what? Matthew left everything and followed Jesus. One of the most despised of the Jews was one who worked for the tax department because it was Roman. And they were actually taxing the Jews. So Matthew was a Jew working for the Roman government, taxing the Jews. And the amazing thing about being, if you would, part of the IRS, is that everything you collected over what was due, you kept for yourself. Amazing. And then down by Jericho, there was like this resort of all the IRS employees who were living these wealthy lifestyles. But isn't it amazing that God loved Matthew? Even though he was fleecing the flock, even though he worked for the Roman IRS, Jesus said two words, follow me. And the Bible says very clearly that immediately, Matthew arose, forsook all, and followed Jesus. And that's a key here for us as well, isn't it? When you give your life to Jesus Christ, you are forsaking everything to follow him. That doesn't mean you have to just totally get rid of everything. But what it means is Jesus Christ is first in your life, number one, above everything. In his gospel, Matthew shows through the scriptures that Jesus Christ is the long-awaited Messiah of Israel. Isn't it amazing how there they were looking for the Messiah, and when he showed up, very few people recognized who he was, the Messiah of Israel. Now, when one begins the God-breathed, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, Gospel of Matthew, they may wonder why it begins with the family tree of Jesus Christ. We find the family tree in many places. We find it in Genesis chapter 5. We find it in Luke's Gospel. We find it here tonight in Matthew's Gospel. And one of the incredible things about the family tree of Jesus Christ is they're all a bunch of sinners. Because everyone on the planet is a sinner. We have all sinned. We all fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. And Jesus Christ was sent by his Father into this world to save sinners, just like you and I. Unfortunately, there are very few who read and study the first 17 verses of this chapter. I wonder how many of you have read through the first 17 verses, word by word, name by name, when you read the Gospel of Matthew. I've shared my testimony before I got saved. I had a Bible that I carried with me, and it was just the New Testament. And a couple of times when I got desperate, I picked it up and tried to read it. I'm thinking, what are all these begots about? Begot, 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 begot. I thought, man, what a boring book this is. I didn't go past the first 17 verses. But the first 17 verses here are also God-breathed. They're given by the inspiration of God. This chapter is extremely important. It's indispensable. We need this. Why? Because it proves beyond the shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And so these first 17 verses lay the foundation for all that follows. And that's why we have a Jew writing to the Jews about the Jew, because the Jews were very much concerned about genealogy. In order for Jesus to be the true Messiah, he had to be of the seed of Abraham. And lo and behold, what do we see in the first verse? The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. In order for Jesus to be the true Messiah, he had to be of the root of Jesse. Scripture says he would be the seed of Abraham, the root of Jesse. He would be the lion of the tribe of Judah. And also he would have to be from the throne of David. And according to Isaiah chapter 7:14, he had to be born of a virgin. That's so, so important. And as we see in verse 16 tonight, when we get there, Joseph was not the father of Jesus, but the husband of Mary, who was found with child, not of Joseph, but of the Holy Spirit. Someone was telling me tonight that they heard a lady pastor say that Jesus had two dads. Wrong. Jesus had one father and a stepfather by the name of Joseph. That's why it says the husband of Mary and not the father of Jesus here tonight. Joseph was actually Jesus' stepfather. And so tonight we will begin with verses 1 to 17 and look at the family tree of Jesus Christ. We will touch on a few names. I'm not going to expound on every name, but I'm going to probably mispronounce most of them, being Gentile Joe. Not all of them, and we will notice some interesting people, to say the least, in the family tree. Should have been there. Really amazing. The people that God calls, even in the family tree of his son, even in the church today. Look what God has done. We have some incredible testimonies just in this fellowship alone. And as we work our way through the genealogy here tonight, what really stands out is the descendants of Jesus were all sinners. Everyone. Yet, by the grace of God, they're all ancestors of the Messiah. We are saved by grace through faith. It's a gift of God. Those in the family tree were saved by grace. Every person today that professes the name of Jesus Christ and becomes a child of God is saved the same way, by grace through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast. People, as we will see, in the family tree, who were often characterized by lying, unfaithfulness, immorality, idolatry, and apostasy, yet God's dealings with them are always characterized by grace. God is still the same today. He's filled with grace. For even the most vile sinner on the planet, God pours out his grace and love and mercy upon every human being on the face of the earth. And so let's look at the first six verses of the genealogy tonight. And this is what the word of the Lord says through the Holy Spirit. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. You know what's really cool? We don't have to pay money to ancestry.com. God gives it to us here through the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob, or we say Jacob, us Gentiles. And Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Judah begot Perez. See, there's Hispanics in the Bible. Just joking. And Zerah by Tamar. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nashon, and Nashon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king. David the king begot Solomon by her, who had been the wife of Uriah, who is Bathsheba. And so here in verse 1, we have King David, who committed adultery with the one we see in verse 6, Bathsheba. David got into trouble. And I can tell you why. David was Israel's mightiest king. And instead of being on the battlefield with his soldiers, he was on the balcony. We are more secure, folks, on the battlefield at times than we are on the balcony. I remember when I was in Vietnam, they would send us on R&R. Rest and recuperation, they called it. It was more dangerous on R&R than it was in Vietnam, believe me, with some of the things that we in the military would get caught up in, things that could destroy our lives. I'm not going to lay out a list. Why? Because mine is in the deepest part of the sea and God remembers it no more, so I'm not going to go deep sea fishing tonight. And so David got in trouble because instead of being on the battlefield, he was on the balcony. Do you realize and recognize that we're in a battle? Anybody sense that lately? We are on a battlefield. We're not on a playground. This is serious stuff that we're dealing with today in our nation. And again, I'm not going to lay out a list of things that are going on. God's laws that we have changed, and we've turned sin into licentiousness. That means doing what we feel like doing, walking by our senses rather than walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. David also had her husband Uriah killed to try to hide his sin with Bathsheba. You see how sin compounds? He went from being an adulterer, now he's an adulterer and a murderer. But again, isn't it nothing short of incredible that here he is in the family tree of the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of the world? And again, like I said, isn't it nothing short of amazing that we are in the family of God as well? No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, if you have repented and received Jesus Christ into your heart and believe that God has raised him from the dead, that you're saved and you're now part of the family of God. And so then there's Abraham. We talked about him 2 weeks ago on Father's Day, the father of faith. And again, here's the father of faith that lied twice about his wife and also went into his wife's handmaiden in unbelief, trying to help God out in producing a son, and he's called the father of faith. Now you tell me, is God not a God of grace and love and mercy? It was when God caused Abraham's wife Sarah to conceive that Abraham begot Isaac, the son of promise. God promised that through the seed of Abraham that Messiah would come. And here we now see the family tree of the Messiah, and it's Abraham through Isaac and Jacob and Judah and all the way down through the family tree, because God always keeps his promise. God is always faithful and true. God can never, ever, ever break a promise. And so it says Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob had quite a testimony as well. He was a deceiver. And it would be Jacob who would be called Israel. Isn't that amazing? And then came Judah, who sinned with his daughter-in-law, Tamar. She disguised herself as a prostitute and came and seduced her father-in-law. Why does anybody have to watch soap operas today? Just read the Bible. You want to see some heavy-duty stuff? Right here, man, just in the genealogy. And so Judah sinned with his daughter-in-law. And guess what? Out of that, he begot two sons. And it says here in verse 3, Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Tamar, by the way, is the first of four women listed in the genealogy. And check out these ladies. Two of them were harlots. Tamar and Rahab. Yeah. One was an adulteress, verse 6, Bathsheba, and one was a Gentile by the name of Ruth. As I mentioned, I'm not going to expound on every name here tonight, as time does not allow, but Solomon, of course, was born of Bathsheba, and Solomon was both an idolater and a polygamist. What's a polygamist? Multiple wives. 700 wives and 300 concubines. Whew. I'm not going to expound on that one. He was a polygamist and an idolater. Multiple wives. And guess what? He passed that down to his son, Rehoboam. Rehoboam had 18 wives and 60 concubines. Imagine. Crazy stuff. It says Rehoboam begot Abijah, who begot Asa. Whew. Finally, a breath of fresh air. Asa was a good king, but not good enough to be saved. Of course, he was a sinner. But of the many kings that Israel had, I forget what it was. We were in 1st and 2nd Kings not too long ago. And I think out of like 40 kings, there were only like 5 good kings in Israel. So that's why I am not amazed or stumbled by the politicians that we see today. The best way to govern a nation, the best way to rule a people, is through the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. And how sad it is that we have leaders in our nation that are far from God. But you know what? The return of Jesus Christ is very, very soon, so be ready. So let's continue through the names here. And I'll do the best I can to mispronounce them. Verse 8 to 17. Let's start at verse 7. Solomon begot Rehoboam. Rehoboam begot Abijah. And Abijah begot Asa, the godly king. Asa begot Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat begot Joram, and Joram begot Uzziah. Uzziah begot Jotham, and Jotham begot Ahaz, and Ahaz begot Hezekiah. Hezekiah begot Manasseh, Manasseh begot Amon, or Amos, and Amon begot Josiah. Josiah begot Jeconiah, and his brothers about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begot Shealtiel. There's a tough one. And Shealtiel begot Zerubbabel. Imagine these poor little kids in kindergarten trying to learn how to spell their name. Zerubbabel begot Abiud, and Abiud begot Eliakim, and Eliakim begot Azor. Azor begot Zadok, and Zadok begot Achim, and Achim begot Eliud. Eliud begot Eliezer, and Eliezer begot Matan, and Matan begot Jacob, or Jacob. Whew, got through that section. Here we go. And Jacob, or Jacob, who would be called Israel, begot Joseph, the husband of Mary. Notice, Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who was called the Christ. It does not say that Joseph was the father of Jesus Christ, but he was the husband of Mary. And so all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until the Christ are 14 generations. Whew. And so even in the genealogy, we can see the beautiful reflections of God's grace, just by a few of the things that I named about some of the people in the first 17 verses. You tell me, is God not a God of grace? He pours out his grace on everybody on the planet. The people of whom he chose to be his ancestors reveal his grace. And you know what? The same thing should hold true to you and I today. We who have been saved and born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, we should be living examples of the grace of God. People should wonder, man, what's up with you? How come you're always smiling? How come you're always happy? How come you're always filled with love and you love people? And we know why. Because we are recipients of the grace of Almighty God. Grace means to get what you don't deserve. Anybody in the room want what you don't deserve? Or what you deserve? No. No. None of us want what we deserve. But grace is getting what we don't deserve. G-R-A-C-E. God's righteousness at Christ's expense. That's how we are recipients of grace, as he pours out his grace and hope to all sinners. Verse 16 again. And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. And again, Matthew tells us that Joseph is the husband of Mary. It does not say that he's the father of Jesus. And as we'll now see when we get to verse 18, before Mary and Joseph came together, before they had a physical relationship, Mary was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Look what verse 18 tells us. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother, Mary, was betrothed. The original Hebrew is kiddushin, engagement, betrothed. To Joseph, before they came together. Matthew makes that very, very clear. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't get any more clear than that, does it? And again, we see in verse 18, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And again, Matthew, a Jew, writes to the Jews about their Jewish Messiah. Look at verse 18 to 25 again. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. And again, what a testimony this guy was. He wasn't just a man. He was a just man, and there's a major difference. It means to be an upright man. He was an upright man. And not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Isn't it interesting? Most of the Josephs you find in the Bible were dreamers, all the way back to the book of Genesis. And so here we see another Joseph. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Yeshua, Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Wow. Notice. So, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Yeshua, or Jesus. Again, a reminder, here Matthew, a Jew, writing to the Jews about a Jew, is writing here through the power of the Holy Spirit, and that includes a genealogy, and it includes verses 18 to 25, and he writes through the Holy Spirit, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows, as his mother was betrothed to Joseph. Betrothed is kiddushin. It means to be engaged. They were engaged. Engagement in those days was as binding as marriage. And it could only be broken by divorce. If you were engaged to someone and you decided to break off the engagement, you had to go through court proceedings. It was like getting a divorce. They did not live together in those days. Boy, times have sure changed. In those days, if you were busted as a fornicator, porneia is the term, both the woman and the man were taken outside the city gates and stoned to death. Yeah. They didn't live together in those days. When there was unfaithfulness on the part of the betrothed, it was considered adultery. And like I said, both were taken outside the city gates and stoned to death. Here in verse 18, we read that while they were betrothed, Mary became pregnant, miraculously by the power of the Holy Spirit. God confirms this also, and that's one of the many, many things I love about the Word of God. God confirms that Mary was a virgin, and God confirms that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit in her womb in the Gospel of Luke. And guess what? Luke was a physician, the beloved physician, he is called in the book of Acts by the Apostle Paul. And so God confirms the virgin birth and that Mary was a virgin and that Jesus Christ was conceived in her womb by the Holy Spirit so that we would know who he is and so that they would know who he is. I wonder how many physicians today would believe in a virgin birth. Dr. Luke did. Dr. Luke wrote about it. You read his gospel in the first section, and Mary was a virgin, engaged to Joseph, when an angel of the Lord came to her. Isn't it amazing what God does? Not only did the angel of the Lord come to Mary, but later on, as we see here, this evening in the Gospel of Matthew, I believe it was the same angel that came to Joseph to remove any fear from his heart and his life. And so the angel of the Lord came to Mary. He says, you have found favor with God. Out of all the women throughout her history that were born, Mary, a virgin, a poor little peasant girl from Bethlehem, or from Nazareth, excuse me. Bethlehem, yeah. Conceived in her womb, the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Man, ladies, what do you suppose that was like? To have the Christ, the Son of God, in your womb. The angel said, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. She didn't even have to go out and get a sonogram. Notice, a male. Male and female, as God created them. You shall have a son and call his name Yeshua, Jesus, Savior. He will be great, the angel told her. He will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. And again, can you imagine this young girl being visited by an angel and being told these things? Favor with God. The Messiah will be conceived in your womb. He'll be a son. His name will be Jesus. He's going to be great, Son of the Highest. And he's going to assume the throne of David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob, or Israel. Of his kingdom there shall be no end. And again, I wonder what Mary thought. And what did Mary respond with? How shall this be? Excuse me. Since I do not know a man. She knew about the birds and the bees. She knew about conception. And she knew that in order to be pregnant, that she had to have a physical relationship with a man. And she said, how shall this be since I do not know a man? And guess what the angel does? He responds with, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Imagine what this young girl was thinking. And again, God confirms the virgin birth, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, by a physician, Dr. Luke. And so at this time, in verse 19, Joseph did not know the reason for Mary's condition. He didn't know yet. Mary hadn't shared this with him. And so look at verse 19 again. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Wow. Imagine that. I wonder what most other men that weren't just men would have done to the one they were engaged to if all of a sudden she came up pregnant. This had to be a major shock for Joseph. Mary's pregnant? Imagine, and isn't this the way the enemy works? When we get into a situation like this, we always think the worst case scenario. The enemy always bombards our mind with thoughts. Was she unfaithful? Both he and Mary would be taken outside the city gates and stoned to death. This had to put fear in his heart. Imagine, he truly loved Mary. They were a beautiful young couple. Enough to, it says here, to hide her and protect her, to put her away secretly. He loved her that much. Joseph was a just man, meaning he was upright, he was devout. So notice what happens, verse 20 and 21. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Notice, even while he was sleeping at night, he was thinking about these things. You ever have something going on in your life where you have a hard time sleeping? And even sometimes I find that even when I'm dreaming, some of the things that I'm going through or experiencing are in my mind through the night. And notice what it says. An angel appeared to him in a dream saying, Joseph, son of David, reminding him that he's of the lineage of the future Messiah, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. Imagine. Again, what must this have been like for Joseph? Just like Mary, an angel appears. What would you think if an angel appeared to you? An angel, possibly the same angel that visited Mary, now visits Joseph in a dream. Guess what? He just turned Joseph's dream from a nightmare to a promise. And I'm sure he was having nightmares over this whole situation. He removes Joseph's nightmare. He calls him Joseph, son of David. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. What a relief that must have been for Joseph, that that which was conceived in Mary's womb was of the Holy Spirit. Any suspicions of her purity now had vanished. Her pregnancy was a miracle of the Holy Spirit. The angel now reveals the child's gender, his name, and his mission. He said, she will bear a son. Notice a capital S. Whenever deity is mentioned in Scripture, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, capital. Son is capital S here. His name, Jesus, Yeshua, means Savior, or Jehovah is salvation. And again, wow. He will save his people from their sins. He's the long-awaited Messiah that Israel had been waiting for. As a matter of fact, Isaiah 7:14, when Isaiah prophesied about a virgin conceiving and bearing a son, it was 700 years prior to this instance. So it's hard to imagine what Joseph is thinking now. Wow. Of all people that God could have chosen, Mary to conceive, Joseph to be the stepfather of the Christ, the Messiah, the one who would come and save his people from their sins. And so Matthew now confirms this incredible miracle with Scripture. Look at verses 22 and 23. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Amazing, isn't it? Again, Matthew backs up everything with Scripture. He's backing up the virgin birth, Mary's conception, all these things with exactly what Isaiah had prophesied 700 years before. And Isaiah prophesied of this incredible event. Another confirmation. Emmanuel, God with us. Many people wonder if Jesus Christ is deity. Is he the Son of God? Is he the Messiah? Is he the Savior of the world? And here we have a Jew writing to the Jews about the Jewish Messiah, and everything's being confirmed here. Jesus, Jehovah is salvation. Emmanuel, God with us. And even the Pharisees later on, before they crucified Jesus and accused him of blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, asked him if he was the Son of God. And Jesus said, it is as you say. Beyond the shadow of a doubt, we have proof here tonight, just in chapter 1, of who Jesus Christ truly is. The Messiah, the Savior of the world. Verse 24. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, yeah, no kidding, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Again, Joseph, being a just man, obeys God. Look what it says here. When he was aroused from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took for him Mary as his wife. Now, kiddushin is the engagement. Chuppah is the marriage ceremony. And so he now goes through the ceremony of chuppah, getting married to Mary. He took her as his wife. And it says here, again, a confirmation. He did not have sexual relations with her until after Jesus Christ was born. And they called his name Jesus. You know what this does? With Mary, this disproves the false teaching of Mary's perpetual virginity. The Catholic Church professes that Mary was a perpetual virgin forever. But if you read God's Holy Scripture, we read in the other Gospels that Mary and Joseph had sons and daughters. They had other sons and other daughters. That's why it is so important to know what the Word of the Lord says. If someone tells you something that just doesn't resonate, check it out. Go through Scripture. Mary and Joseph had sons and daughters. As a matter of fact, two of their sons wrote two epistles in the New Testament. One is James, the other one's Jude. They wrote some incredible scriptures for us to hold on to and to learn from and to believe. The amazing thing is, up until the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they didn't believe who Jesus was, their own brother. What must it have been like for them growing up with God the Son as a brother? Can you imagine? I can't imagine what Jesus had to go through, maybe heckling and, you know, oh, Mr. Perfect, mommy's boy, you know, all that stuff that kids do to one another. But Mary and Joseph had other sons and daughters. And so here we see. We're going to finish early tonight. Tina's doing the kids upstairs. She'll be happy. Joseph took Mary as his wife. Joseph took Jesus as his stepson, as his adopted son. As we close, not only was Jesus Mary's son and Joseph's stepson, but Jesus was also their Savior. Because even Mary needed a Savior. You read what is known as a Magnificat in Luke's Gospel, the Song of Mary, and guess what? She refers to Jesus, her son, as God, my Savior. Mary needed a Savior as well. So as we close, this is the introduction, and what a good, solid introduction we have from Matthew. We've got the family tree, the genealogy. We've got confirmation through Scripture of who Jesus Christ is, the virgin-born Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us, the Savior of the world. And also again in Luke's Gospel, a beloved physician, he confirms a virgin birth. He confirms again all of the things that Matthew writes about, and both of them use Old Testament scriptures to prove and confirm who Jesus Christ is. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for its perfection. Every name, every word is God-breathed, given by the inspiration of God. Thank you for the incredible proof that we have of who Jesus is, the virgin-born Son of God. Yeshua, Jehovah is salvation. Emmanuel, God with us. We thank you, Lord, for giving us your precious word and confirming it. And the odds of confirming all of these things about Jesus just in this chapter are insurmountable. Incredible. Thank you, God, for always being faithful and true and for confirming all of your promises that Jesus Christ would be through the seed of Abraham. He would be of the root of Jesse, lion of the tribe of Judah, the throne of David, all these incredible scripture verses that you've confirmed even here before us tonight. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your word. And I pray, Lord, that we would hold on to these precious truths. And looking forward to next week, chapter 2, and going through the rest of this incredible gospel of Matthew. Thank you for everybody here tonight. Thank you for the worship. Thank you for the fellowship. Thank you for your many blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, God bless you all. Closing song? All right.
Let's all stand.